The Tampa Bay Rays took the wind out of Sale Day and beat the Red Sox 3-2 on Tuesday, despite a strong outing and debut from Chris Sale.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Today's episode is brought to you by Blue Nile. Make your moment shine with jewelry from BlueNile.com. And Locked On Red Sox listeners get $50 off any purchase of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive also includes engagement rings. Use code Locked On at checkout. Welcome to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I am your host, Nesson's Lauren Campbell. I am flying solo today. Jake Ignaszewski, Massachusetts Pirates team insider and my co-host, is preparing for another lengthy week with the Pirates as they continue their regular season, their push to the playoffs. So I will be breaking down everything for you today from Tuesday's loss. Red Sox lost 3-2. We'll break down Chris Sale's debut, his first since the 2021 ALCS. We will go over the game as a whole that just was a very ugly loss for Boston. It also featured the loss of Trevor Story and Matt Strom as well. Just overall, a very ugly game for Boston. But let's start with Chris Sale. This was his first outing of the 2022 season, his first since the ALCS of last year. He went five innings. He gave up three hits, no earned runs, and struck out five innings. And per the Boston Globe's Alex Speer, his highest average four-seam fastball velocity in a game during the 2021 regular season was 94.3 miles per hour, and his average four-seam velocity in the 2022 debut was 95 miles per hour. So during Chris Sale's rehab, Alex Cora talked a lot about Chris Sale's arm strength and how it was much better than ever. And even though 94.3 to 95 isn't a massive jump, it certainly shows that that arm strength has been worked on and that it was a very positive overall outing for Chris Sale. He didn't look like anything was really bothering him. The velocity was there. The command was there. And I think this is a really good start for him. I think that this is what people can ask for in his first outing of the 2022 season. And it was nice for Chris Sale because he left after five innings. He left with a 2-0 lead because Alex Verdugo singled and Trevor Story was at the plate and he swung at a pitch that ended up hitting him in the hand. He was in a lot of pain. You could tell that it just wasn't working out for him. So he came out of the game. Jeter Downs ended up replacing him and got a single himself. Then Franchi Cordero had a sack bunt, made it 1-0. Bobby Dalbec hit a triple. Boy, did he need that. Made the game 2-0 and gave Sale some run support and some confidence to end his outing in the bottom of the fifth with a 1-2-3 inning that included two strikeouts. So like I mentioned, overall, I just feel like fans have to be happy with what they saw from Sale. I think they have to be encouraged. I don't think there's any reason to think he'll wake up Wednesday morning and feel not good. He'll be sore probably, but I think that he is ready to be a part of this rotation every 5 days. And it was very, very encouraging. And Trevor Story, as I mentioned, did get hit in the hand. He was diagnosed afterwards with a right hand contusion. Hopefully it's nothing more. Hopefully the x-rays show no fractures and no damage there. And it's not serious because he wasn't the only other player to leave due to injury. More on that in just a minute. But to keep on this pitching trend here, stop me if you've heard this before. The bullpen struggled to hold the lead. Ryan Brazier came in for the sixth. He gave up a leadoff single. He got the next batter on a lineout. Then a walk put two men on. Randy Arozarena struck out. And Alex Cora decided with two outs to go to Matt Strom. And he immediately gave up a single to make it 2-1. Then Taylor Walls drove in two more with what was a vicious single that drilled Strom in the arm. He was in a lot of pain. He was on the ground. It was right back to him. It was a comebacker, just right to his wrist. Ton of pain. He was looked at by the trainer, and he also was removed from the game. He has a left wrist contusion. Both him and Story will have x-rays, and we will update you on their progress as updates become available. Hopefully, it's just the contusions. Maybe I'm hoping Story will be back in the lineup for Wednesday. Hopefully, Strom can just get back in the bullpen because the Red Sox cannot afford to lose really anyone but especially pitchers. The pitching depth has been a problem. I will provide some updates for you on various pitchers in the second segment, Matt Barnes, Nate Eovaldi, Garrett Whitlock. But if one more pitcher goes down, that's just more depth they're digging into in Worcester that they don't really have right now, that the Worcester pitchers aren't exactly ready to come up and help save this bullpen. And I'll talk about this in the second segment, but Chaim Bloom really needs to get some pitching help at the trade deadline, because the injury to Strom, even though it might not be long-term, it might not be serious, all of a sudden you're like, who do we go to now? Because this was our guy, and now it's not our guy. We don't know who to go to right now, and it's become quite difficult to watch the Red Sox just try to figure out who is coming in for these innings. The Red Sox now have 19 blown saves on the season. Only the Rays have more, but 19 blown saves. All because the Red Sox didn't want to go out and get a closer, get solid bullpen help. 19 saves. Even if you take away half those saves, let's just say 9. The standings are different. That's 9 more wins. That's 9 more games you don't have to worry about in the standings. And it's mind-boggling how they just never decided to address the bullpen help. And again, the deadline is August 2nd. Hopefully that they can figure that out and get some reliable arms in that bullpen. But despite the injuries, despite Trevor Story going down, despite Matt Strom going down and the Rays taking the lead, the Red Sox looked like they were going to tie it in the 7th. Alex Verdugo doubled and moved to 3rd on a Jeter down single, who was 2-for-2 on the night. But Verdugo was picked off at 3rd and the Red Sox could not score for the remainder of the inning. Verdugo has made some silly mistakes on the base path recently, and it's so infuriating to watch because you're right there. You are the tying run. You have to be incredibly responsible when you're on third base, and you can't get picked off. That's the last thing you need to be doing, is getting picked off at third base. He was obviously not happy about it. You could tell in the dugout, but just you have to be heads up at all times. You know you are the tying run. This is an AL East team. You're trying to tie this series at 1-1 here. It's a 4-game series, but man, just pay attention. Be more heads up than that. Be more aware than that. This is just ugly. It was a very ugly inning and an ugly loss altogether for the Red Sox, especially in a game that was incredibly winnable. It just turned out to be a disaster. Sale's start was wasted, but there was plenty of positives to take away from it. But the struggles continue against these AL East teams. The Red Sox are not going to make it far in the postseason if you cannot beat AL East teams. Yes, they still can tie the series. Yes, they were down 2-0-2 to the Yankees in their series and end up tying it. But you don't want to find yourself in these positions. You don't want to be fighting for ground in the standings. Hopefully they can just bounce back, and hopefully that these injuries to Story and Strom aren't serious. Hopefully the starting pitching can build off this strong start from Sale, take that as motivation, and go into Wednesday's game with a better mindset and steal a win. It's just when the Red Sox lose these winnable games, these are the kinds of games we're going to look back in September and October and wonder, oh, if the Red Sox had just won, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 of these series against AL East teams, it'd be a much different story. We don't want to look back in later in the season for a July game and be like, if the Red Sox had won this, it would be a completely different story going into the postseason. But hopefully Story will return for Wednesday's game. Like I said, we'll keep you updated on his injury as well as Strom's. Speaking of injuries, we'll talk more about the slew of them and provide updates, some good, some not so good, on Boston's other injured players and pitchers right after I tell you about Blue Nile. Because at BlueNile.com, you get to celebrate all of life's special moments, from creating that custom engagement ring to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices you will not find at a traditional jeweler. Whether you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating a milestone moment, find jewelry as unique as whoever you're celebrating with modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. Blue Nile has simple online tools that let you choose the diamond shape, the size, the clarity, as well as the setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft the perfect engagement ring, and that means each ring is one of a kind. Make your moments sparkle with jewelry from BlueNile.com. Locked On Red Sox listeners get $50 off any purchase of $500 or more. This podcast exclusive also includes engagement rings, so be sure to use code LOCKEDON. That is code LOCKEDON at checkout. Plus, every order is insured, it ships free, and arrives in discreet packaging that will not give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever piece. Go to BlueNile.com today. All right. I wish I had some better news for you going into the second segment of Locked On Red Sox, but unfortunately I don't. While it's not all bad on the injury front, there is a little bit of good news. I will start with the bad to just get it out of the way. Kike Hernandez, who has been out since June 8th with a right hip flexor strain, he was taken off his rehab assignment on Tuesday by the Red Sox. And according to Alex Cora, he is now shut down indefinitely. He played one rehab game for AAA Worcester on Friday. He went 0 for 4. He had the strikeouts, and he just felt too much discomfort in his hip after the game. He could not play again Saturday, which is why we have seen him with the Red Sox. He's just been too uncomfortable to play. The setback was pretty significant, and it was significant enough for the Red Sox to shut Hernandez down indefinitely. Obviously not ideal. I do think he would have been an intriguing trade chip. Maybe he still is, but with the indefinite injury, it's probably not likely. Alex Cora on Tuesday before Tuesday's game said that it sucks because we felt at one point that he was making strides. Obviously, that's why we let him play. Now we just have to be very patient. He just feels uncomfortable. He felt it right away after the game, and the next day he was very, very sore. Now we've just got to stop it and look for other stuff. His latest setback now might make the Red Sox consider getting some outfield help ahead of the August 2nd trade deadline. Jaron Duran has been hot at the plate after he had first been called up. He's cooled down a little bit, maybe even significantly, and he has been a bit of a liability in center field, where Hernandez, as you probably recall, was a gold glove candidate. Rob Refschneider has been really, really strong against lefties, but he has not been a full-time player for a long time. Jackie Bradley Jr., we know his offensive struggles, and maybe the now Chaim Bloom will need to look toward outfield depth as well as pitching depth. I still think pitching needs to be the priority here at the trade deadline, but if Hernandez's injury and his setback is significant enough to shut him down indefinitely, you have no idea when he's going to return, it might be worth looking at a little bit of outfield depth. And then there's everyone's best friend, Matt Barnes. He had his second rehab assignment with the Florida Complex League on Tuesday. And while it was, I guess, better than his first one on Saturday, where he gave up 3 runs on 3 hits, he only gave up 1 run on 2 hits. He gave up a walk and struck out 2 in an inning of work. And while the runs were down for Barnes this time around, he's still allowing runners to get on base. His command isn't what it was. And in the Florida Complex League, these are very young kids playing, and he's struggling against them. Definitely not a good sign. Not sure really what the next move is for him, if he will continue to pitch down in Florida, if he'll move to Portland at some point. But it's just not been a good time for Matt Barnes at all. But like I said, it's not all bad news. We have the return, most likely the return of Nate Eovaldi and Garrett Whitlock. They are expected to rejoin the Red Sox on Friday against the New York Yankees. If Eovaldi does indeed start Friday, this will be his first one since June 8th. He's been out of the game for a little while, but he has been rehabbing, of course. Not just going to throw him back into the rotation against the Yankees, but it will be very nice to have him back. Hopefully he can just kind of pick up where he left off and continue to be a very strong pitcher for the Red Sox, because they're going to need it, and they're going to need it especially against the Yankees. Garrett Whitlock was supposed to throw 2 innings of relief on Tuesday with the Portland Sea Dogs. The game was delayed several hours. There was a lot of rain and thunderstorms here in New England on Tuesday night, so that might delay his potential return Friday. We'll certainly keep our eye on that and bring you any and all updates as they come out. And Josh Taylor, remember Josh Taylor? He also was supposed to pitch Tuesday. He's not pitched at all for the Red Sox this year. He's been dealing with a lower back strain, and honestly, we're halfway through the season. We're almost at the All-Star break. I don't even know if we're going to see Josh Taylor at all this season. So a lot of news on the pitching front, some good news, some not so good news, especially when it comes to Kike Hernandez. Hopefully the indefinitely part of his setback isn't very long. I think that's a very intimidating word, especially if Alex Cora said he's going to see a doctor, and he's going to see a doctor who's not in Boston. So when you start involving doctors and who probably aren't the team doctors, and you're going elsewhere for opinions on your injury, it raises a red flag. It doesn't sound like it's good news for Kike, but hopefully it's not as bad as I'm stressing it out to be, because the last thing this Red Sox team needs is another long-term injury, and hopefully it's nothing of that sort. But All we can do is just wait and see. But if you want to make a bet on Friday's game when Eovaldi returns, maybe you're feeling confident that he'll lift the Red Sox to a win over the Yankees, you should head on over to BetOnline, because BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your betting needs and your sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, the league reviews, and news, including Major League Baseball, the All-Star Game, the odds for the upcoming postseason. BetOnline is your continued source for all of your sporting wagering information, including live betting, esports, and scores. And BetOnline.net remains the best spot for all of your sports scores, podcasts, and news this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and all the action. That's BetOnline, where the game starts. As always, we are going to end the show with the Mental Health Minute. And I've been reading this book now for a while. I've put it down for a little while, unfortunately. It's called You Are a Badass Every Day. And I'm getting toward the end. And today, one page really stuck out to me. And it's like the first beginning of a new chapter. And it says, if you keep waiting for the right time, you'll keep living the wrong life. And like I said, it really stuck out to me because I always feel like no matter what, we're always waiting for the right time. Oh, it's not the right time to do this. Oh, I'll start working out tomorrow, or I'll start eating healthy tomorrow. I'll apply to that job next week, or I'll apply to a job, a different opening at this company. And something that was relayed to me when I was in fitness competition prep years ago, I was told that no matter what I want to do, whether it's in my fitness journey or my career aspirations, and I sit here and I say, oh, it's going to take too long, or oh, I'm too old, or insert excuse here, no matter what, the time is going to pass anyway. Oh, that's going to take me 6 weeks. I'm not going to do it. Okay, well, 6 weeks is going to pass anyway, regardless of whether you decide to do something or not. The time doesn't stop for anyone. It doesn't slow down for everyone. And I think that it's just important to remember that in order to live our best life, we have to take chances, and we have to not be afraid to take that leap of faith, because sometimes it ends up being the best thing we can do. And if we, like this page said, if we keep waiting for the right time, we're not going to be living a happy life, a complete life. And that's what we want to do. We only get one, right? So we want to live and make the most of it. And we can't just keep waiting for the right time. We have to go make our own right time. And if we fail, at least we can say we tried and not sit back and wonder, oh, what if I tried? Or what if I did it like this? At least you did it. And at least you can say you tried, and you can live a happy and fulfilled life. Let's end the show there. Thank you for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Red Sox podcast right here on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast is where you can find us. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @LO_Red Sox, Jake at Jake Iggy. He will be back on the show for tomorrow's episode. And me, Lauren, 3 Laws, Lauren with 4 Rs. Be sure to check out all the other Locked On shows across that network. Everyone does such a great job here. Locked On O's, Locked On Astros, Locked On Yankees, Locked On Rays, Locked On Blue Jays. We all love bringing you baseball content Monday through Friday. And now that you've made Locked On Red Sox your first listen, head on over to Locked On MLB Prospects for listen number 2. Host Lindsey Crosby is an encyclopedia when it comes to these prospects. He brings you incredible insight of MLB stars of tomorrow, like Brian Bayo, the Connor Siebolds, the Josh Winkowskis. Free and available wherever you get your podcast. Please be sure to check back for tomorrow. We will continue to cover this Red Sox Rays series. Hopefully we can bring you some good news on Trevor Story, on Kike Hernandez, on Garrett Whitlock, and everyone in between. Until then, have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow. And as always, let's go Red Sox.